I'm Ed. My talk today is on neurohacking, but particularly I'm going to be talking about a way to hack a $50 toy to get pretty much medical grade EEG data. I apologize, my slides weren't, I had to restore some of it, so. This is a quote from William Burroughs, I really like it. Anything that can be done chemically can be done by other means. And neurohacking, I would define it as any way of observing or affecting the brain and its processes. It can range from using chemicals or electronic devices to manipulate the brain. So EEGs, this technology lets us see the electrical activity of the brain is created from the firing of neurons. And the information that you get from an EEG can be used to diagnose or treat certain disorders. It can also be used to control computers or video game consoles in brain-computer interfaces. And the data can also be used in a process called biofeedback or neurofeedback. Some people use it to help increase their attention or to help focus or relax. Some of the earlier forms of neurohacking involved stroboscopic light, such as the Dream Machine, which was a spinning disc with a light suspended in it that flickered the light at a certain rate. And you, with an EEG, you could test to see if the rate at which the light's blinking was synchronizing to your brain waves were syncing to that same rate. So to build an EEG for pretty much less than $75, you there's the Open EEG project, and they've done a lot of really good things. They have several different versions of equipment, I believe, but most of them cost anywhere from $200 to $400 and upwards to build and assemble. So the MindFlex you can pick up on Amazon or some toy stores for like $50. And you can use either, some people have used an Arduino hack, which is what is used here. There's also a Bluetooth version that doesn't require a USB cable or an Arduino. So here's a look at the differences between the OpenEEG project's hardware and the MindFlex hack. And I already went over some of that. So NeuroSky is the company that produces the EEG chip that is in the MindFlex. And it's also in a toy called the Star Wars Force Trainer. And there's also another set called the Mindset. It's a little more expensive, but you don't have to hack it to get the access to the data. But some researchers in Japan have studied it, and they found that it was superior in some ways to a normal lab EEG. They have proved that you can measure cognitive load with the NeuroSky EEG chip, and that can be used to diagnose certain diseases like Alzheimer's. There's several projects. Some have hacked the MindFlex to make music. They plug the output of the MindFlex into the input on a synthesizer, like the pitch control, and you can actually make music with your mind. It's pretty interesting. So the Arduino hack that that you see here was developed by the Frontier Nerds. All you need is one MindFlex toy that you get, three AA batteries, an Arduino USB cable, wire, and then you need the Arduino brain library and processing. So inside the MindFlex, it's not a very complicated piece of equipment. This is a diagram of how the hack works and how the how it picks up the signals from the brain. Is there's a metal electrode in the center here, and then that picks up the electrical activity, goes to a microcontroller, and it, the output that you get with the MindFlex, you can only get the EEG power band values. You can't get the raw data unless you get the firmware from a mindset and put it on a MindFlex. But you can still do a lot with just the EEG power band data. And so what you do with, one of the things you can do with the data from it is use a program that visualizes it, it graphs it out. I'll show you, here's a picture of it in action. And the program that the brain visualizer was written in processing. It's really easy to hack if you want to change it around for your own purposes or change the graphics. Now, to interpret the data, you could go to college to learn, you know, if you want to really learn about it. But you can get a pretty good idea of what some of the data is. There's delta rhythms, theta rhythms, alpha, beta, gamma. It also can pick up something they call meditation and attention values. And a better cheap off-the-shelf EEG technology is from a company called Emotive. They released a product called the Epoch. And this uses 14 EEG sensors, which, unlike this, which uses one electrode, it can probably be used to get 3D maps of the brain. Some people have hacked the wireless encryption, so there you could do way more with this than you could with the MindFlex. But the MindFlex is still pretty valuable, the data that you can get from it. So one person I want to talk about that has a lot to do with EEG technology is William Gray Walter. He was a neurophysiologist and a robotician. He created some of the first robots, and he created some of the first EEG machines. He also experimented with the effects of stroboscopic light, which, if you see here, is a modern version of a stroboscopic brain machine. This one was invented by Mitch Altman. It also uses binaural beats, which pulse at the same rate as the light flickers. As I said earlier, the Dream Machine, which was a predecessor to modern-day mind machines, was originally invented by Brian Jason, Ian Somerville, and William S. Burroughs. Brian Jason was an artist, and William S. Burroughs is a famous writer. And their friend, Ian Somerville, who is an electrical engineer, gave him some input when making it. You can see the Dream Machine there on the left, and on the right is Mitch Altman's modern form of stroboscopic brain machine. There's other types of audio beats besides binaural, which uses stereo left and right audio channels to create brainwaves, to generate the brainwaves that you are trying to generate. Some of them, isochronic tones and monaural beats, they don't require stereo, and so you could actually, you wouldn't require headphones, but you can still get EEG data with headphones. It doesn't seem to interfere. So another thing I wanted to talk about today was transcranial devices. Another project that me and my friend have made is cranial electrotherapy stimulator. And what this does is it sends between 100 to 1,000 microamps of electricity through the brain. And how you would work it is you could either plug electrodes onto the end or cotton balls dipped in saline. And what you do is you attach them behind the ears. Originally, back in the 50s and 60s, when this technology was invented, they thought the only way to penetrate the skull was by putting it over the eyes. And you can still do that. It actually creates a stroboscopic effect. But I don't believe they recommend attaching the electrodes over the eyes. Behind the ears is the preferred method. Other technologies would be transcranial direct current stimulation, RTMS, which is repetitive transcranial magnetic stimulation. This has been called the God Helmet. It uses electromagnetic pulses to create changes in the brain. there's a really exciting new thing which may replace RTMS. It's called transcranial pulse ultrasound, or ultrasonic neuromodulation. And what this does is it uses ultrasonic waves to stimulate areas of the brain, and it can stimulate further into the brain and with better resolution than RTMS. The military, DARPA, is developing it, but the technology I don't believe is beyond what hackers could do. There were a project to create open source transcranial magnetic stimulation devices, OpenRTMS and OpenStim, but I don't believe either project has released a blueprints or hardware or OpenRTMS and OpenStim is the other part. Yeah. So back to the cranial electrotherapy stimulator. It's also been referred to as neuroelectric therapy, which is just another name for it. Both of these technologies have been grandfathered in and are approved by the FDA. They have been used to treat depression, anxiety. It's also been used to treat drug addiction. It boosts levels of endorphin, serotonin, norepinephrine, and dopamine. There haven't been any long-term negative effects. The only short-term negative effects that I've read about or that I've experienced are headaches during the use of it. I also wanted to talk about a little bit of the history of that. Giovanni Aldini, who was a nephew of Luigi Galvani, he experimented with galvanic head current all the way back in 1794. And there were two French researchers who studied electrically stimulating the brain back in 1902. But this technology, the CES, this primarily didn't get popularized and studied until like the 50s when the Russians and then eventually the Americans began researching it. It was originally used for to help induce sleep.
I thought they were also using it in prisons as well as trying to reform some prisoners.
Well, one thing I want to make clear is a lot of people mistake this device for electroshock therapy or ECT, electroconvulsive therapy. This is way different. This is like using microamps. That's a lot more powerful. You won't get seizures while using this. ECT causes seizures. And the schematic is fairly simple. We just use a hex inverter. I got this from a site called Hack Canada. You can buy the parts for about $10 at an electronics shop. All right, back to the transcranial magnetic stimulation. Now, as I said, the two open source projects didn't seem to really produce anything useful. But there is a guy who is selling on the internet a version that there's one that uses four electromagnets. And then I believe there's an 8 and 16 model. But there's also software for it. They're pretty much the same thing if you, there's a 8 and 16 magnet version, I believe. Here you can see some of the prototypes for the ultrasonic neuromodulation, neurostimulation. They believe it could be useful for controlling, say, in combat. If a soldier, you know, is getting anxiety or he can't concentrate, if they had a small, you know, ultrasonic stimulator on their head, you know, people back at a base could monitor the soldiers while they're in the field and try and reduce their anxiety and increase their concentration and attention in the battlefield. But this is what it's being researched for now, Arizona State University and DARPA. But it has a lot of potential in consumer uses. And then other means of hacking the brain are research chemicals, botanicals, nootropics, pharmaceuticals. These are older forms of, or more traditional forms of causing changes in the brain. With the ultrasonic neuromodulation, we may be able to more accurately control which neurons fire and basically control our own minds to any level we want to. I wanted to show the a little bit about the brain grapher, the visualizing program. It gives you an output in numbers, but it converts that into a graph, and you can record this, and then you could use that to basically for neurofeedback or biofeedback. Yeah.
Same neurofeedback, biofeedback, pretty much the same thing, I guess.
Yeah. I have one to credit. The MindFlex hack was originally made by the Frontier Nerds, the Bluetooth version of the hack, Mog and Tim from Makers Local 256 made that. And if anybody's interested, here's the two papers I mentioned about research into the MindFlex EEG technology. Does anybody have any questions? Right now, I mentioned earlier about how you could use, with the Mitch Altman's mind machine here, and it's putting out flickers of light and binaural beats at a rate that is supposed to cause your brain to sync to the same brainwave frequency. And with this, you can see patterns. It's a very psychedelic type of device. But the interesting thing is you can verify that the device is syncing the brainwaves with the actual rate of light and audio. Yes, there was more people have used, I think, the Emotive Epoch device for that, but the original game that comes with this controls a fan, which levitates a ball. The Mindset, which is the I believe $200 version of the same chip, it's a wireless headset which you can get apps for, and you can also make apps. This developer kit's available free of charge by NeuroSky. There's a lot of games for it, also the computer games that you can play and use the thing to control. Yes? What is that called?
It's called, the program is called Play Attention.com.
That's pretty interesting. I've heard about other technology that uses the brain to control things. I think they can be really useful for people that have disabilities, multiple sclerosis, and other.
Have you heard of any about some of these actual computer technology, like, you know, technology to try to interface the human brain with, say, like a computer chip, to where all you do is just plug a cable into your brain and actually have, using just by thought, okay, I want.
There is research.
I want it to move, and they've had it with, I know they've had success with some chimpanzees.
Yeah, UC Berkeley.
And some human work.
All right. Yeah, there's some research being done on that. That's more a little more invasive because it requires opening the skull, yeah, and putting EEG electrodes over the actual brain. There is research being done at UC Berkeley, but you can kind of do some of the same things with less invasive things. I think with the MindFlex, it opens a lot of possibilities. It's very easy to hack, and I encourage a lot more people to try and hack their heads. Thank you.